Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, we could talk about some of the market moves that we're seeing here, but overall it seems like investors are enthusiastic and confident again that they're putting money at play. We're seeing broad averages up strongly. But one thing that I think we really need to focus on here, there's some key news or I guess events this week that could drive markets. First, coming out of the Federal Reserve, we have, I think, 10 different speaking events this week from a wide range of Fed members. We don't know what they're going to say. And quite frankly, Powell has done a pretty good job recently of more or less boring the markets and trying to drive home the fact that the Fed is still just standing on the sidelines. What are you looking forward to this week, Ed, in terms of any of these Fed speaking engagements?
Well, I think everyone's going to be focused on the commentary we're going to get regarding the move we saw in the bond market last week. I think that you're right to point out we have a wrath of Fed speak. Everyone's trying to get ahead of the blackout window. And what we're probably going to see is investors, they're really going to focus a lot on this week's speeches because there's been a, you know, last week we heard from the Fed and his testimony to Congress really kind of signaled that it's comfortable with letting, you know, the market play out. And, you know, we then saw, you know, the 10-year Treasury yield, spike over 160. And I think that kind of really was a big shock for many traders. And I think it really will be a negative for the financial conditions in the short term. And you're probably going to have a Fed that's going to be a little bit more cautious as far as, you know, what they're willing to tolerate as far as a rise in yields. They want the curve to steepen, but not in the manner that it did post his congressional testimony. And I think what you're probably going to see is that, you know, right now this market, this rally that today that we've seen, it's all about global bond yields. And I think that, you know, we started the week off with China. They had some softer economic data. You know, I think a lot of that would have been attributed to the Lunar New Year holiday. But I think that kind of alleviated some concerns that, you know, that the Chinese were closer to tightening and pulling back some of that accommodation. Then we heard from the Reserve Bank of Australia. They doubled down in their defensive yield. So I think they increased their bond purchases, and that kind of really will, you know, they're standing up to this move in the market, and they're really, really, you know, reinforcing their belief in yield curve control. And I think that really provided a signal that, wow, the big central banks are ready to act. We didn't quite get that from the ECB. They did report that they did slow down the pace of their emergency bond buying last week, but I think that just was poorly timed. I don't imagine that the risks are greatest in Europe, so I don't imagine the ECB really going anywhere near tightening mode or allowing the move higher in global yields threaten their economic recoveries, because they're the most fragile of the big economies. So I think you're going to see everyone is going to be focused on the Fed. We have Powell on Thursday, but I think that you're probably going to see, too, there's going to be a big emphasis on Fed's Brainard. I think that what we're also going to start to see is Wall Street's going to become a little bit more fixated on Brainard. I think Brainard is one of the favorites to replace Fed Chair Powell. I think there's a good chance he might not get renewed, or he might not be up for the job again. And typically, this is mainly because the Biden administration is not going to want to stand by a Trump appointee. So I think you're going to see that there's a chance that people are going to really hold a lot more with what Brainard has to say. She briefly spoke today. I think her comments very much, I think, in line with what she said in the past. She's kind of concerned as far as the recovery. And I think she's, you know, really adamant with what the policy that has been put in place. And I think she's going to kind of, you know, remain that dovish voice that we've seen from the Fed. And I think people are going to pay close attention to see if she has anything more eye-opening regarding the move in Treasury yields. So I think there's a lot to focus on. Everyone's going to circle Thursday, though, when Fed Chair Powell discusses the economy. And it's going to be very closely watched week for Fed Talk, because I think if we can have more confidence that they're really going to push back on market moves like that, that's really just going to help continue to drive this risk-on party, and that'll continue to help push higher the U.S. stock market and most likely the commodity currencies and commodities themselves.
Okay, so you still think that the most likely thing to come out of the Fed, even though we probably won't hear anything this week in terms of new policies, is the Fed somehow stepping into yield curve control. And then on the back end of that, you see that just further helping risk on assets, but also commodities. Does that carry over to all commodities? Does gold benefit too, or does gold still lag and it really is this almost reopen trade or just risk on trade?
Well, I think gold is in a hard place right now. I think right now we've seen there has been somewhat of a relief of the bond market sell-off, but you're having investors completely just fly back into risky assets like stocks. When you take a look at, you know, who's leading the charge higher, it's big tech. If big tech is leading the recovery, not small caps, you're going to see investors be a little bit less inclined to buy safe haven assets like gold. So I think right now the developments too with the dollar versus the euro, right now in the short term, the U.S. is just winning the vaccine war. I think right now Europe has really disappointed in their vaccine rollout. And when you take a look at the virus mutations, it has not really impacted, at least not yet, the U.S. statistics. Cases, hospitalizations continue to trend in the right direction. Europe has now started to see an upswing in Germany, Italy, and Belgium. And so I think there's concerns that the reopening of the European economy is actually going to be a little bit more delayed. And you're probably going to have the U.S. U.S., you know, could see herd immunity by the middle of the summer. And if that's the case, you know, U.S. is going to outperform Europe, and that's really going to probably keep investors a little bit more bullish on the dollar, and that's going to weigh on gold. So I think there's a short-term, I think, possible dollar strength that could really kind of derail gold. And I mean, like, we're getting closer to passing that Biden COVID relief bill, and I think, you know, everyone's anticipating infrastructure spending talks to happen shortly once that's done around mid-March. So, you know, there's still a lot of support for gold, I think, in the for the remainder of the year. But I think right now there's still some headwinds, and it's going to make the gold trade a little bit tough. I think if gold can hold 1,700 this week, that would be pretty bullish for gold. So I think if we do see a break, it might be one of those spikes. Blowers, and typically I think that would start to interest a lot of that big institutional money. But right now it's looking a little vulnerable, especially given the rally we've seen with most of the other assets. And that's kind of where gold is. So it's going to be a tough time for gold, I think, these next couple of weeks. But in the end, I think it should have a strong finish to the year.
Okay. Well, to your point about a potential spike low, we might be in the middle of that right now, because even gold trying to recover pre-market reached up to almost 1760, but has been selling off throughout the last almost 8 hours now, and it's dropped pretty much $60 from that high. So gold continues to be under pressure. Let's also talk about oil, because oil continues to hang in there. However, today it's starting to sell off as well. It is still above $60 a barrel for crude. And we do have an OPEC Plus meeting and statement coming on Thursday. What do you think is possible out of that OPEC Plus statement here? And how does oil react, Ed?
This is one of my favorite stories to cover right now. I think everyone has been kind of focused with the one-year anniversary with the Russian-Saudi oil price war, where we saw those events kind of lead to the plunge into negative territory. And it's amazing to see how quickly OPEC and its allies were reunited after that. And we saw pretty much a calm, coordinated effort to kind of bring balance to this market. And And right now, I think that the reopening process is still intact. I think you're seeing U.S. and Asia outperform. As I mentioned earlier, Europe is kind of struggling, but I think you're probably going to have the group deliver another increase in output. I think 500,000 barrels per day is somewhat, I think the market would be very tolerant of. And then Saudi Arabia is I think they're going to likely end their voluntary curbs. Remember, they delivered that surprise million barrel per day cut, which really kind of helped spark this last move higher in oil prices. They might not bring back a million immediately in April. Maybe they'll kind of do a little staggered approach, but I anticipate that they're not going to be just giving up revenue and market share to their peers. So I think you're going to see that that's going to pretty much come back. And I think traders are pretty much in unison, just in line with the belief that oil prices are going to be higher. I think that there's a lot of upside. I think that the global economic recovery story, is going to really be, I think, most positively viewed for the energy sector. I think that jet fuel demand is going to slowly come back, but a lot of that will depend on once we really start to see Europe and some of these emerging markets get their vaccine situation squared away. At least for the Americas, you're going to probably see more progress with providing some more help with Mexico. And I think that's just going to, they're a key trading partner for the U.S. And also with immigration concerns, I think you're going to see that it's important to have Mexico being healthy and strong. So I think you're going to see that there's a lot more upside here for oil prices, but there's going to be some jitters, I think, heading to this meeting. You're going to see that everyone's going to be fighting for their market share and wanting to increase output a little bit more aggressively. So I think, we've seen OPEC meetings drag on for days, and I think the end result, you're going to see that if U.S. production is ramping back up a little bit quicker, these OPEC plus people are not going to want to give up market share to the U.S. And that I think eventually you'll see this agreement get torn up, but I don't think we're there yet. And I think right now you're going to probably see, even if we do get a dip post this meeting, I think you're going to see a lot of people salivate at that opportunity to buy.
Does this also tie in with the outlook for some of these other commodities that have continued to rise? Base metals, energy metals, although they've been a little bit weak recently. It is also this general restart trade, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. And if U.S. delivers on infrastructure spending, I think that we're seeing a little bit of a slowdown in China. It's hard. I think we really need to get beyond the Lunar New Year holiday. But I think that if China remains strong, and if the U.S. does get their infrastructure spending done this year, the belief is that you're going to still see pretty much strong demand for the base metals. And that's very, I think everyone is still anticipating a much weaker dollar second half of the year. So that's just going to really provide a very bullish outlook for commodities across the board. And I think that probably you should not be surprised if we still get more accommodation from the U.S. I think the labor market recovery is really going to struggle. I think that the Fed's pretty much committed themselves, put themselves in a corner right now, and they're going to have to remain accommodative, and they're likely to be the last central bank to raise rates. So a major central bank to raise rates, and that's going to be, I think, why you're going to still see traders remain very, bearish against the dollar. And that's going to just provide tremendous underlying support for commodities.
All right, Ed, we will wrap it up here. Good chatting with you, buddy. I will also post a link to the Oanda website where everyone can read over your daily note. I will chat with you next week, and well, let's see how this week plays out, because there are a lot of potential catalysts here, but it's been pretty consistent, at least from the Fed, how they've been really avoiding saying anything too aggressive to move markets right now. So I don't know. We hear from a lot of them this week. Maybe one will give us some better insights than what Powell has. But I guess Powell has been pretty straightforward, saying they're not planning on doing anything right now. And boy, they haven't really done anything that different. All right, Ed, good chatting with you, buddy. I'll chat with you next week.
Thank you, Corey. Have a good one.